This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Derek Brown, and on today's episode, we're going to dive into a Dynasty Superflex rookie mock draft. I had some of the best people from around the fantasy football industry join me for this mock draft. Our own Andrew Erickson over here, Fantasy Pros, Scott Baird from Fantasy Points, Ben Cummins from Football Guys, the dynamic duo of Ray Garvin and Jordan Richards from Destination Devi, and Theo Greminger from Player Profiler. It is a jam-packed episode, super actionable content. The only thing about this, we recorded this on Twitter Spaces, so I'm just going to give y'all a heads up. The audio quality is a little bit lower than you're used to on this feed, but tune in. I promise you, the info in this episode is going to be awesome. We run through the top two rounds, give you some targets for the third round and later in these rookie drafts that you have coming up. So stay tuned. It's going to be an awesome show. Catch all these Twitter spaces live if you follow us at Fantasy Pros, the main account on Twitter. Hit the bell. Get alerted when these things go live. It's going to be awesome. Now enjoy the show.
What is going on, everyone? Happy Friday. Shoot, we're less than a week away from the NFL draft. And really, to kind of warm everybody up, get the dynasty juices flowing, I decided to sit here and reach out to a bunch of my friends in the industry, and we're going to have a Dynasty Superflex rookie mock draft. We'll tight end premium here as well. Just waiting for everybody to hop in here. We got Erickson, Ben Cummins. What's up, Ben?
D-Bro, what's going on, man? How are you handling the JMO news?
Just trying to keep composed, man. Trying to keep people from trying to trade low for him, so I'm holding. I'm holding, man. I'm not moving.
I already got a dynasty offer that I declined.
I know the low ball offers are coming, man.
You know, I'm just looking at my 14% on underdog and crying a little bit, but we'll get through it.
That's okay. It's okay. Six games is not a coffin nail, man.
Just let me get those spike weeks in the playoffs.
We need them. I need this. My body is ready, dude. Yes. Before we kind of get rolling here, still waiting for everybody to kind of get in here, I do want to remind everybody that we are going to have an NFL draft stream live on YouTube next Thursday. We're going to be live for the entire first round. It's going to be me, Joey P, Erickson, Friedman, Thor's going to stop by, everybody from the FP team, as well as we're going to have content covering day two. We're going to have a Discord stages from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, and Thor and I are going to go live on Twitter Spaces to cover the entire second round of the NFL draft, giving you our reactions to every pick. Y'all can hop up here and ask questions, the same thing that we're going to do today in this draft. If you want to raise your hand, get a question in, why somebody made the pick. We're not going to sit here and like answer 15 questions in a row, keep things moving, but definitely we want to make this fun, get everybody in here, and you know, allow for some good dynasty talk to come to fruition, man. So just waiting on Theo and a few others to hop in here. I guess I'll start to introduce our panel here. Erickson, what's going on, dude? Everybody knows your work from Fantasy Pros. I know you're excited to have drawn, what, the 101? Is that what I gave you?
Yes, lucky me with 101. And you know it's recording time when the neighbors spray out the weed whacker.
Oh, they wait. So. They wait, man. It's every single time. I think they
literally, as you cue me up to make my introduction, I just hear the weed whacker in the background. It's like spot on timing.
It's every time.
Hey, it's that time, man. It's that time of year.
They're trying. I swear, I almost want to look, peer out my window to see if anybody's trying to look in to see if I'm doing a show sometimes. It's spot on. I know we're waiting for the other half of Destination Devi to hop in here. Ray's always got to make his entrance. Jay Rich, what's going on, dude?
Yeah, you know that man's always got to be passionately late, right?
Oh, I've already texted him a few times.
He's in here now, though. You can bring him up. You can bring him up.
Oh, just as soon as I start smack-talking him, Ray shows up.
He shows up to defend himself. You know, the lawyer always shows up on time to defend himself.
Come on, Ray. Get up here. But yes, so Destination Devi is in the house. Ray G and Jay Rich, baby. Rolling through everybody else. Theo, my dude from Player Profiler. We did a show a few weeks ago, man. How's it kicking? You ready for this mock?
I'm stoked. I'm ready. I'm ready to mock with you guys. I'm excited.
Oh, man. I know you're in the high stakes action. Have you already had cut day for FFPC yet?
Yeah, we've had cut date, and I'm hurting a little bit today with the Jameson Williams news because I have a lot of Jameson Williams. So we'll survive. We'll survive, D-Bro.
Hey, man. Look, I've got a lot of JMO. I had him as my wide receiver, too, in that class. So I think we're all feeling a little bit of the pain right now. But you know what? It's all good. Six games is not a year. This is not a Calvin Ridley situation. Beat back those low-ball offers that are sure to hit the inbox. Erickson, I know you got some stuff coming out for FP. I know you're going to be grinding it away for the NFL draft, just like I am. What do you have hitting the site in the next few days, dude?
Just more mock drafts. Mock draft 6.0 working on, and then mock draft 7.0 will come out, I believe, like Thursday morning, the day of the draft. So that's basically it. Finalizing the big board, the top 100 players. And just trying to keep myself sane by not trying to always project what's going to happen, because just there's going to be stuff that no one can project, and trying to think that I can outsmart, you know, it's just tough. So just really going back and forth with what I'm trying to do with the top of the mock drafts, with the CJ Stroud slander just continuing across the timeline every time you log on. So, yeah, but more just draft content all the way up till Thursday.
Definitely, man. Ray, I see you've hopped up here, dude. How's it going, man?
Doing well, man. Excited for next week. It's finally here. You know what I'm saying? It's just
oh, we need it so bad, dude.
It's good to be here, man. I just love ball, dog. Love ball. So I'm excited to see these landing spots. And I'm excited to see people's tunes change after some of their favorite players get drafted too late, or guys that you thought were sorry get drafted a little too early. So thanks for having me on, and this will be a fun one.
Oh, man, anytime we get to talk ball, it's a good day, dude. I know you're out in the streets and you're dealing with the smoke and stuff like that. Before we kind of get rolling here on this mock, I want to get your take on this. So all the slander, all the bad things about CJ Stroud are hitting the airwaves and all that kind of stuff. We got S2 scores. All types of stuff, man. How are you dealing with that? What do you think about that right now? As far as like CJ Stroud as a prospect, do you think he falls in the draft? Like, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, listen, CJ Stroud is a ball placement specialist. Like, he is. You can go back to his Elite 11 tape. You can go back. I think there was a camp, I believe, last summer, and he just took his regular clothes off and was like, give me a football, and just went out there and destroyed everybody. I mean, he's a ball placement specialist. So it's interesting to see 8 days ago he was the undisputed quarterback one, and now I'm seeing people say he can go as low as QB4. Listen, whether there's merit to it or not, D-Bro, as far as him as the prospect, like, he's still probably arguably the best thrower of the football in this class. He's going to be a first-round pick. he's going to have opportunities. So what I'll say is for the people out there who have him as QB1, I mean, as long as he's drafted in the first round, that's what you want for a quarterback. So hopefully we don't see those people waver and back off too much. But we'll see, right? Anything can happen, dude. I've seen a lot of wild stuff happen in the draft, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Stroud. But he definitely seems like he's the one who's is falling. How do you feel, D-Bro? I mean, you've been pretty outspoken that he's your QB1.
I mean, I'm feeling fine, man. I think that, honestly, the thing that I'm taking away from this is that I don't know if any of us were really in love with any of these top three teams, top two teams that could go after Stroud and stuff. Like, I'm not enamored by, you know, a quarterback landing in Carolina or Houston. Is it terrible? No. Is it great? So, like, if he falls down the board a little bit and you got other teams, like, a Detroit comes up. I don't know if they're going to do that, but hell, if Detroit comes up, Seattle, Minnesota, some of these other sneaky teams that, like, if the price gets a little bit better, could he end up landing an even better spot than, say, if he went to Carolina or he goes to, you know, one of these other poo-poo franchises that were just like, okay, well, they're picking high for a reason because they suck. So I'm not out on Stroud, dude. The arm talent is definitely there. You can say what you want about S2 scores and stuff. Like, I'm not sitting here like, will that make some teams take him off? He's not on their board anymore? Possibly. Is that making me move the needle as far as, like, with Dynasty? No. Like you're talking about, Ray, he's still going to get the capital. He's still going to go first round. I don't see him slipping outside that. I definitely don't. Like, I just worked on my mock draft rankings for Fantasy Pros today, and I had him going 11th to the Tennessee Titans. So still top 10, top 12 pick. I don't think he falls outside the top 12, man. So, nah, there's a lot of things to worry about, but that's not one of them for me. Go ahead, Ray. I'll say you take yourself off mute.
No. I mean, you hit it. I mean, there's nothing else for me to say, man.
I guess one other question I want to get out here into the space is Jay Rich. So is Jonathan Mingo the, what is he, the 105 for you? Is that going to happen or no?
I don't know about 105. You know, once you get after the quarterbacks, if he gets that draft capital, like it looks like he might. I mean, you never know. You never know.
Hey, man.
We can't hear you. Can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Turn me up a little bit, right? It's okay.
Fix your mic. Can't hear you. Do it from your phone. You're probably trying to do it from your computer.
I feel like I'm hearing outtakes from Destination Debbie Radio here.
It's the AirPods.
I got to deal with this every morning. Every morning, man. We can't hear you. Do it from your phone. Stop trying to do it from the computer.
But, I'm doing it on the phone.
Yeah, Jay Rich is the king of the Jonathan Mingo hype train. So,
he's driving it. Seatbelt is buckled. And speaking of buckled in, I see Scott Barrett's up in here. Scott, get up here, man. Let's talk some ball, brother. Raise your hand. I just sent you invites, dude. Barrett, what's going on?
Yo, I am huddled in a corner charging my cell phone.
People have to know the sausage is made, Scott. People have to know, dude. It's all good.
This isn't desktop friendly? What the hell?
Hey, you take that up with Elon. I can only have so many powers and things that I can wield, okay? I don't have control over Twitter, blue check marks, or Twitter spaces. So I will kindly have you refer to Elon and shoot him an email.
All right, well, screw it. I'm taking Bijan. Let's go.
Well, you're the second pick, so hold your damn horses Scott. Okay?
All right, can I trade up?
No, and you wouldn't even trade up even if you could. I mean, you're the king of tradebacks, okay? So
I'll give up my round 4, 3, and 2 right now so I can just take Bijan and log off.
If anybody's ever been in a dynasty startup with Barrett, this is real talk here, okay? But without further ado, I do want to get this kicked off. Erickson is going to be picking first. Barrett is going second. Ray G is going to be third. We got Ben Cummins up at fourth. Jay Rich is fifth. Pio is sixth. Then we're going to roll it all back again. Try to get through two rounds, maybe three, depending on how much, especially me, since I'm hosting, how much I run my mouth. But Erickson, there's no kind of ideas or other ways you're going to go outside of Bijan here for the 101, right?
Well, I mean, like, I mean, everybody loves Will Levis now. You know, Texans love him. Lord. Colts love. No, I'm going Bijan. Lock it in.
Yeah, I mean, I think, is there even a conversation to be had about anybody else at the 101? I mean, especially with the Stroud stuff. And I mean, A-Rich and Superflex, considering this is a Superflex tight end premium mock draft. Any thoughts on that?
I'm gonna start it off because I've been saying this. And tell me why. And you look back and don't give me the, oh, you can trade Bijan for a king's ransom. Like, stop. Mm-hmm. The running back market in Dynasty today, like, they don't even, they go try to trade Jonathan Taylor or Breece Hall for 3 firsts. Like, it's not happening outside of leagues with a bunch of fish. So if you're playing in any type of competitive league, go back since 2019, outside of the 2022 draft class, you look 2 years down the line, and you're saying, I wish I'd have every one of the top quarterbacks over whatever the presumed RB1 was in that class. So all I'm doing is asking the question that if you're in a super flex league where the quarterback scoring matters, 6 point per passing touchdown, you're getting, you know, you want the Konami Code type running back. If Anthony Richardson gets the capital, right? Mm-hmm. He goes to Indianapolis with Shane Steichen at 4. He goes, Tennessee trades up to 3 to take him. Why is there not a conversation about the doggone quarterback in Superflex being 101?
That's why I'm asking the question, why not? Baby. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, I'm asking.
And why for, not? For I love it, Reggie, but I.
Because so... it's just Bijan? Oh, man. You just take. I'm not saying Bijan's not the right 101. But why is it a foregone conclusion that in the most valuable position in Superflex is the quarterback?
I think
if you get a quarterback that gets the capital, why not?
I think it's PTSD over Malik Willis last year. We were in a draft last year, Brett Whitefield's draft, where he went in the second round of a dynasty startup that was pre-draft. But I mean, I'm with you. I get it. I think it's somewhat team dependent. Brett Whitefield is our film guy over at fantasypoints.com, and he has Richardson as his NFL QB1. And then from a fantasy perspective, mm-hmm. it's no question. He's Vernon Davis with a cannon. And so you're getting a guy who can conceivably play for 20 years. He's so young, massive fantasy upside, massive power law potential. I do think for me, I would still go Bijan because I get the positional scarcity argument. There's only 32 quarterbacks who are going to put up fantasy points, and there's, you know, you're starting a minimum of 24 ideally in a super flex, but I just think the age of the bell cow is over, and so Bijan, you know, factor that in, positional scarcity, like who is getting 18 plus carries and 4 or more targets. It's Christian McCaffrey, it's Austin Eckler, Jonathan Taylor, and then a whole bunch of question marks. It's one of the best free agency classes ever. It's one of the deepest running back classes in recent memory. So he's the last of the Mohegans, the last of the bell cows. So it is Bijan, but I do think it can be team dependent regarding the rest of your roster.
I love the bell cow point that you made there, Barrett, especially looking around the rest of the landscape of the NFL. Go ahead, Ben.
It's Bijan for me too, but I agree that it's a discussion based on your team. But for me, it's a different quarterback. Anthony Richardson, I love him, but I do think it's pretty risky, at least a little risky at this point in Superflex, where reliability at quarterback helps a little bit. So for me, it's between Bijan and Bryce Young.
Can anybody hear Ben?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me? I can hear Ben.
I love the landing spot with Carolina. I think the infrastructure there with Frank Reich, with Josh McCown, with Jim Caldwell, I actually really like that. And D-Bro, you know that C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young have been right there 1A, 1B for me. And I still really like C.J. Stroud. You guys were speaking on that. And I have a feeling I might be coming back to that here with pick 4 maybe.
Possibly.
But with the landing spot with Young and just how special he is as a creator, poised within the noise, Josh Norris tweeted, like, he plays so well with chaos – while staying calm, because he's able to create and do all those special things. Obviously, there's some questions with the size and things like that from a longevity standpoint, but I'm really excited about Bryce Young as a rookie right away. And so for me, that's the decision for me, is Bijan versus, if I'm thinking quarterback in Superflex, Bryce Young, because he's going to the Panthers, and for me, I've been saying for a while, I'm thinking for a while, whoever does get drafted by the Panthers organization is the one that I'm most interested in. So Bryce Young is my top quarterback in Superflex right now.
Okay. Barrett, you are on the clock here for 102, man. Are you going to go ahead and pull the trigger on A-Rich?
Well, this is tricky. I think it's another sort of roster-dependent pick because I love JSN. I think I don't know why we're not valuing him as just sort of Bijan of wide receivers. Just analytically speaking, he has the best profile of any wide receiver in 10 years, but behind only Jamar Chase. So I do think he's in play here, but you know, in a vacuum, ignoring the construction of your roster, like we said, you know, quarterbacks are more valuable. This is Brett Whitefield's QB1 from an NFL perspective, one of the greatest, most freakish athletes of all time. So I will take Anthony Richardson with this pick.
I mean, look, you don't have to sit there and twist my arm on JSN. I've said that, like, basically anybody talking about there's no elite wide receivers in this draft class, I literally don't know what the hell they've been doing. Like, have you not watched JSN yet? So I love that take, Barrett. Ray G, you're up at 3 here, baby. Where are you going? Where'd he go? There, Ray, can you hear me?
You see how this goes?
Hey,
see how this goes, D-Mo?
I know, J-Rich. I know.
You see, he comes, he starts blaming me for things. He
jinxed himself, Jordan.
This happens every time. This happens on our show, feels like almost every week. Hopefully he comes back soon, though.
Well, Ray's having difficulty here. We'll mix up the board a little bit. Ben, I'm going to give you the third pick here, unless Ray just hops in. Ben, where are you going with the third pick, baby?
I mean, if we're moving me up to 3, I just made it obvious I'm going with Bryce Young here. I think he's special. I think he's an elite prospect. The size is a concern, but as I touched on, accuracy, playmaking ability, keeps his eyes downfield in the pocket, poised within the noise, plays chaotically, but isn't chaotic. He's a special player, and it sounds like it's locked in that he's going to Carolina. He's got the infrastructure. So I'm happy to land him at the third pick in Superflex.
Who did I get sniped for? Who did Ben take? Who did I miss out on?
You just lost out on Bryce Young, right?
What the hell? So I'm at the 104 now?
You're at the 104, dude. Where are you going?
I timed out. I timed out of the draft.
Wow. Yeah, hate to see it.
Wow. Hate to see it. All right. Damn. All right. So I'm at 1-5?
You're at 104.
And who? Bijan,
A-Rich, and Bryce are gone.
All right, give me C.J. Stroud. Give me C.J. Stroud. Easy. I meant ball placement specialist. He's going to be a first-round pick. Hopefully his, whatever the narrative is around him gets dispelled. I'll take him easily here at 104. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll trade up to the 105 and take JSN.
I've talked about it. Really, I don't understand why. It's going to be curious where the hell C.J. Stroud actually goes in the NFL draft, because it's like, how much of this is smoke? How much of this is real? I still think that C.J. Stroud is unto a tier of his own with the arm talent. I still think that there's rushing upside to be had.
Yeah, and I'll just say real quick, because I'm sad I actually ended up having to go Bryce over C.J., because I was looking at the fourth pick and assuming I was going to get C.J. Stroud, because I'm right there with you and Ray G. I like him a lot, too. I think he, like as I touched on earlier, I think he's 1A, 1B with Bryce Young. I think he's an elite prospect, ball placement specialist is the exact way to say it, downfield accuracy. And he, my favorite thing that shows up on film repeatedly for me is that he throws so many back shoulders. I love back shoulder throws because the defense legit can't defend it, right? Mm-hmm. And he throws them all over the field, downfield, sideline, in the middle of the end zone. So S2, be damned, whatever. I think his processing is pretty elite from what shows up on film.
Absolutely, man. I don't disagree at all. J-Rich, you're up at 105. Is this just the easy JSN pick?
No, man, I'm taking Will Levis here. 92 percentile, okay. S2 score. You know, I think what we saw from him last season, offensive coordinator getting fired, a lot of things going wrong for him. But going into the NFL, I expect him to be a lot better. You see the hype starting to build again. You know, the fans community way down on Will Levis, but the scouts continue to tell you he's going to be a high pick. He has a cannon arm. If everything goes right for him, he can hit. And in Superflex, I'd still be willing to run that risk. I understand people who want to take JSN, but I'm always going to be leading that quarterback, especially one that I have projected in the top 10. JSN as well, you know, could be a top 10 pick, but I will lean quarterback here and take Will Levis.
Theo, you're at six. Please stop the ball, JSN.
I just want to thank Jay Rich for making me JSN at the six, because that makes my day. I would consider JSN in a super flex draft with this draft class as high as the 103. I think he's an absolute stud. I think he's going to have multiple wide receiver one seasons, and I think he's going to get there quickly because I think he's a target hog and the sort of player that offensive coordinators are going to try to get the ball to. I love JSN. I'm thrilled getting here at 106.
Yeah, if he falls, I've had him consistently in my top tier ones. Like, I'll take him as early as 104, maybe 103, just depending on the draft. Like, I love him, man. No shade to Jay Rich, but I understand the format. And I think a lot of people sitting at the 105 are going to be tasked with the same type of decision. Do you go quarterback and lean into the super flex, or do you go with elite wide receiver? In this instance, I'll go with the elite wide receiver. Erickson, you're up at seven. Where are you going?
Yeah, let's see. So mainly the quarterbacks are all off the board here. So for me, I think I'll go with Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Alabama. So yeah, I guess for me, it's like I have enough like question marks with the other receivers besides JSN, who I feel the most confident about. You know, do they get round one draft capital? Like Addison, I feel pretty good about that. But like, we're hearing whispers about Johnston now potentially falling out of round one. Say Flowers is a polarizing player where there's just not a lot of like comparable players to him, historically speaking, that have been drafted in the first round. Whereas Gibbs, again, maybe there's an off chance that he gets into the first round. And I think that's going to, if he has that first round draft capital attached to his profile, even if it's at 31, like that sticks with him for a while. So I think that he'll be able to hold his value, even if he doesn't inherit a bell cow role, which again, we talked about earlier, that doesn't even exist really anymore. So just give me the guy with 4.3 wheels and that can catch passes.
Yeah, I don't hate the pick. I think that once you get to the 107, 108 range, things get very interesting. I've had Zach Charbonnet as my RB2 just because I think he could build the volume case a little bit easier for him. But I'm kind of curious. I know, Bear, would you push back on that? Like, do you think that Gibbs is a pretty, I guess, a safe bet to sit here and possibly get 200-plus touches? Or do you see some risk there?
I think in a worst case scenario, he's a rich man's DeAndre Swift. He's, you know, in a neutral case scenario, he's exactly Reggie Bush. And in a good case scenario, he's Austin Eckler. And because upside matters so much more than downside is detrimental, he's just easily worth this pick. He's the 106 in Superflex. He's the clear RB2. I think Zach Charbonnet is very mid as a prospect. He has good size. He has good projected draft capital. Beyond that, I'm not seeing it. His best trait is he's really good at getting tackled. So I'm a big Gibbs guy. And I think this is the point in the draft where it gets really gross for me.
If you're at the 108, are you looking to trade out of this if you can?
Oh, absolutely. Give me like a Brandon Ayuk or a future 2024 pick, anything like that. Just get me out of here.
Well, you're not getting out of this one, Scott. So the 108, where are you going?
Yeah, it depends. Do you want to, like, are you going to publish this and post it to Twitter? Because if I give you my wide receiver 2, you're going to be mocked for it. Because based on the analytics profile, my most recent article, I have Marvin Mims as the wide receiver 2 in this class. That's obviously going to change once I factor in draft capital. Mm-hmm. So if I were drafting from this spot and I couldn't trade out, I would probably take Quentin Johnston, my wide receiver 3. But if I were only in one dynasty league drafting pre-draft, I would have to stay true to my rankings and take Marvin Mims.
Okay. So are you going to go? And here's the thing. I and anybody can chime in. And if you disagree, that's cool. But I want to hear it. Like, I'm projecting maybe late round 2, round 3, probably round 3 draft capital for Mims. I was more on the second round, but a lot of the stuff, like I heard Daniel Jeremiah talking about, like he's brought up Mims to various guys in the industry and not a whole lot of buzz whenever he's mentioned his name. But does anybody else see different projected capital, probably like round three for Mims at this point.
I think he could sneak into round two. But I think it's a little risky taking him here at the 108 over a number of wide receivers that we think are going to go higher, that maybe have a little bit safer outcomes. But I do like Mims. I can understand why Scott has him ranked so high.
Yeah, I mean, the profile is fantastic.
If you're not top 40 receiver, I'm good. Like, maybe I can stretch to top 50, but historically speaking, you go late second, third round, I'm fine. I'll pass. Hard pass.
Yep. Shout out to Scott Connor. I know y'all done a lot of work as far as the draft capital being linked to upside and receiver production too, Ray.
I mean, here's the thing people got to understand about this class, man. There's a lot of players that are going to get drafted that are going to be awesome for the NFL team that drafts them. That's going to be, you know, I've seen Marvin Mims back of the second to Philadelphia. Great for Philadelphia. Great for Jalen Hurts. Fantastic for Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Not so much for Marvin Mims. So there's going to be a lot of spots where these receivers fall to, and you can't be jaded. You can't. You've got to be able to see through the BS and understand that there's probably little room for upside with some of these spots, even though these could be great spots for your NFL team.
So Barrett, with all that being said, final answer, Mims, or are you going QJ?
Quentin Johnston.
Okay. All right, we're going QJ. And I think the big thing that, and I'm curious where QJ goes, it seems like he's going to fall into the second round right now. Considering the NFL draft decided not to extend him an invite to come to the draft. And, I mean, that's been a lot of the buzz recently. So, curious where he's going to get selected. Ben, you were up at the 109. QJ just went. Where are you going?
Yeah, I do agree. I think this is definitely where you start looking to see what offers come in. Because there's definitely a fall off. But I'm going to go ahead and grab my wide receiver two here. I don't know that he's 100% locked into round one. Lance Zierlein's recent mock didn't have him in it, but I feel pretty confident that Jordan Addison is going to be a first rounder. And I just love his game. I think he's Mr. Reliable. I think he has some inside outside versatility. He can make plays downfield, but he can also kind of in the JSN thought process be reliable in that mid range as well. Not saying he's JSN. I love as well, but I feel good about Addison, and I'm excited to see where he lands. So that's going to be my pick.
Yeah, I like Addison a lot. I would be very surprised considering looking at the back end of the first round, like top 30 visits. I would be surprised if he gets past the Chargers, the Giants, that entire like realm of wide receivers, because the Chargers didn't bring a lot of guys in for top 30s. So
that one has me really excited. I know Hayden Winks has been on, you know, even though the Chargers need speed really bad, Hayden Winks has been on the connection of the wide receiver coach. I forget exactly what it is, but he's now in LA with the Chargers. So if Addison's sitting there, I wouldn't be surprised. And obviously that would be an awesome dynasty landing spot. Anybody that goes there with Herbert, with both, with obviously Keenan Allen on his last legs and Mike Williams getting up there as well. Give me that, and I'm really excited to make this Jordan Addison pick.
I don't think he lasts past Buffalo. I think Buffalo is like the same spot. If he falls, I think they're gonna definitely take him.
I think Addison's locked into round one, so I have no qualms or issues with that at all. Ray, are you going to take my wide receiver too, or are you going running back? Are you going to lean into tight end? Where are you going here?
What's the tight end premium in here?
Just 1.5, baby. I'm not going to throw you a curve.
Yeah, let me say that again for everybody in here. Stop drafting tight ends in round one in a 1.5 premium. It's not that it matters for Travis Kelce, maybe Mark Andrews on a good day, but your Dawson Knox that you select too early in startups because it's 1.5, you're killing yourself. Stop doing it. So not touching any tight end right now. And while we're pondering and debating where Addison's going to go in the first round, it feels like this wide receiver is locked in the first round capital. So I'm taking Zay Flowers. Give me Zay here at the 110 spot. I wouldn't shock me if he's the second receiver off of the board in this class. Don't have any questions about him getting the capital. He's going to get it. You give me a top 40 wide receiver, again, first-round capital. It's easy. I'm taking Zay Flowers. Don't really care what the upside is. Somebody in the league will love him, and if I have an opportunity to trade him, I wouldn't hesitate. But I'll lock him in right here.
So you know where I stand about Flowers, Ray. Do you see him as an X, a guy that can win routinely, just consistently? Like, if a team drafts him, puts him on the outside, says, we need you to win 80, 85% of your snaps on the outside, can Flowers do that?
Yeah. I mean, wasn't 60-plus percent of his snaps coming from the X position anyway this year? Yeah. The biggest one of the biggest misconceptions is he's a slot guy. No, he can play in the slot, but he could dominate you at either the X, and I don't think he'd play the Z opposite of the quarterback. I think he's going to be the X, or rotate from X to slot. So, first-round capital, he's talented. He's got some issues as well. Sign me up.
Yep, I'm there with you, man. My wide receiver, too. Easy, Jay Rich, you're up at the 111. Where you headed?
I don't know, Derek. This is pretty gross. We already talked about how it's kind of getting gross already. And this, for everyone listening, if you're in this spot, this is like the absolute top of a tier. And pre-draft, it's pretty much impossible to pick a guy. I'm going to take Zach Charbonnet, though, because he seems like he's going to be RB3 off the board somewhere in the late second, early third. I think he's got a three-down workload. I think he showed at the combine he has the speed to play at the NFL level. We were kind of unsure about that. You know, he just dominated UCLA for a couple of years. Wanted to come out last year, didn't. Coming this year, if he gets the capital, I think he's in a good spot. But pretty much everyone here, we're just waiting to see where the draft is, so we have a better idea of how to them in our rankings. I think Charbonnet, for me, would be the next RB off the board and the one most confident to get the capital at this point.
Yeah, I like the pick. I think Charbonnet is kind of like the end of the tier as far as, like, well, looking at guys that where you feel like, I can't remember, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jay Rich, I can't remember a class where it feels like after, like, the top 2 to 3 wide receivers, top 2 to 3 running backs, draft capital could be all over the freaking map about all these guys.
Oh, yeah. They just, you know, we had times where Downs was a first rounder. And, you know, I think you guys nailed, you know, I mean, guys, as a collective, we nailed all the guys that we expect to go right around that first round. Gibbs is probably the lone exception where he might be an early second, maybe a late second, but definitely RB2. And then, you know, I'm not taking a tight end either. So I'm not going to go that route. But I think Charbonnet, of everyone available, you know, at one time it was Hyatt was up there, but I don't think he's there anymore. I think Charbonnet is probably the safest of all the players left on the board.
Love it, man. All right, Theo, you're going to close out the first round here at the 112. Where are you headed?
This is a very difficult one. I was hoping that Charbonnet would land to me here, and it's tempting to take Hendon Hooker because I think he's going to have some decent draft capital, but I'm going to go Roschon Johnson. I think he's going to end up being a second round pick in the NFL draft. I'm bullish on him, and I think he's the sort of guy that is going to rise up our rookie draft rankings post NFL draft, because I do think he's going to land well, and a lot of the running backs we like might land a little bit later, but I think Roschon, he has the profile, he has the size that I think he can make an impact in year one. And it's, again, it's a difficult choice after Flowers and Charbonnet, but I'm going to push Roschon into the end of the first.
And so you said you're projecting second round capital. What if Roschon goes in the third round? How are you feeling about it?
I'm still feeling okay. I have a feeling he's going to be a Dallas Cowboy. I think I've predicted that. It's at the end of the second round. Dallas has a need for a running back. Roschon would fit in and complement Tony Pollard. That's kind of where I'm placing him. And I do think that the steam is there that he's going to land in that second and not that third. If he lands in the third and I don't like the spot, I still think he's talented enough that I would push him in the next few picks, but thinking about him as a second rounder, I feel good about him right here.
So is that assuming that Charbonnet is off the board?
Yeah.
Do you think Dallas goes Roschon over Charbs?
I think Charbs going to be gone before Dallas picks. Okay. I think we're going to have a cascade effect with these running backs where you alluded to Gibbs going, you know, at the end of the first. I think that's going to happen. And I think that you're going to see a couple of these guys sneak into the second round. I think Roschon's going to be one of them.
Theo, Ray, how you feeling about it?
I want to ask Theo, if Roschon hits that landing spot, do you think you'll be able to get him at the 112 spot?
No, I don't. I think that he's going to jump a couple of these wide receivers. I think he's the kind of guy that will go like 106 in non-superflex and like 108 in superflex drafts. Because once you start taking a look into him, like he's kind of got it. And he dominated the Senior Bowl that first day. We have him best comparable to Josh Jacobs on Player Profiler, and I like that one for him. I think that he's going to be underrated as a receiver. And, yeah, we're in on Roshan at Player Profiler.
I love it, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
He does what Zeke did, and he can pass protect on third downs. It makes sense. And you better believe Dallas is taking a running back either on day two, on round two, or round three. It's happening. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I love that
pick. I agree. I mean, here's the thing. Like, Pollard's only on a franchise tag. So whether they want to franchise him again after this year or let him walk, I don't think he's getting a long-term bag from Dallas. So you're looking at, yeah, I totally agree. I think that the Cowboys go with a running back in round two, round three. Just kind of depends on where their board shakes out. But
is D-Bro
still
here? Sure.
Bear, can you hear me?
Yeah, he's talking right now. Can you not hear him?
No, not at all.
That's weird, man.
Let me log out and then log back in.
To go out and come back in, Barrett, but we can hear you. So we can hear you.
Clear.
All right.
All right. Well, Erickson, you were up at the 201. Where you headed?
Okay. So 201. So, yeah, talking about like the different types of tier breaks here. I think I'm going to start to go a little off the wall. I'm not going to start the tight end run quite yet, just because I just want to get better value at it than trying to draft one of the top guys here at the start of the second. So I'm going to go with one of my running backs that I like a lot. And I don't know if like the market has soured on him in particularly just because he didn't test, but I like Kendre Miller from TCU. I like his production profile. I like what he did last year at TCU. And I know that he weighed in a little bit underweight at the combine, but he's recovering from an injury. So it's like, if he's not training, then he's probably not going to be at his actual playing weight, hypothetically, or at least that's the way I view it. So I like Kendre Miller. I don't know where he's going to be at from like a draft capital standpoint. So I think that there's definitely some risk involved here, but he's one of my favorite running backs in this class. So that's what I'm going with.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some steam as far as Kendre maybe staying home, staying in Texas, landing with the Cowboys round three. I think it's possible. Considering, you know, these other bigger early committee backs, where they go and stuff. But to recap the first round, which I should have done before we started the second, but here we are. Erickson went with Bijan 101. Scott took Anthony Richardson 102. Ben went with Bryce Young 103. Ray took CJ Stroud 104. Jay Rich went with Will Levis at 105. Theo went JSN 106. Erickson got Gibbs at 107. Barrett went QJ at 108. Ben went Jordan Addison 109. Ray took Zay Flowers 110. Jay Rich scooped up Zach Charbonnet falling down the board at 111, and Theo went Roshan Johnson at 112. Barrett, can you hear me? You're up.
I can hear you. Yeah.
There we go.
So I think my options here are Josh Downs, who I don't even like, but is my wide receiver four. Or is this to be established tight end premium? Because I would be ecstatic with
1.5 tight end premium, my dude.
Beautiful. Yeah. Contrary to Ray, yeah, I'd be happy with Michael Mayer or Dalton Kincaid. I have Mayer slightly ahead. His analytics profile puts him as the best tight end to come out since minus Evan Engram, who looked like this great prospect, but maybe his career was derailed by injuries. And then Mark Andrews and Dallas Goedert. So, I mean, like those guys, yeah, those guys are super valuable in tight end premium. And I think this class is really weak everywhere else. So I'd be happy with Michael Mayer here.
Okay. Scott's going with Mayer. I don't hate it at all, man. I mean, like my problem, and I'm steering a Josh Downs this part of the draft too, is building like an upside case scenario with Josh Downs. Like that's the problem I'm having. Bear, can you at least build that case, or is it like, it's too hard to see it?
I mean, it's kind of the same thing with a lot of these wide receivers in this class, where if you just look at their box score stats, their raw production, they look great. But like, I've never seen so many fraudulent Biletnikoffs in my life. And that's just basically the entire class.
Jalen Hyatt just taking strays and he's not even being picked here.
With Downs, you're hoping like he could be a rich man's Rondale Moore.
where he goes to a team that lives in 11 personnel, heavily targets the slot wide receiver. But outside of that, I'm just not seeing it. It's a guy who relied heavily on manufactured touches. If you remove screens, he was one of the worst wide receivers in the class by yards after the catch per reception, which you do not want to see from a slot wide receiver. And again, this is my wide receiver four, so that just speaks to what I think about this class as a whole. But yeah, I mean, the box score stats were nice. The lesser predictive metrics were sort of nice. But digging deeper, I came away a little grossed out. But that was true of Addison. That was true of Hyatt. That was true of just about all these guys besides JSN.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm the guy with Mims at wide receiver too, so maybe I'm just insane.
Hey. Mims has the profile, okay? I'm not going to push back on that. Ben, all right, 203. We've opened the can of tight ends. Downs is still on the board. You could go off the beaten path here and go with a running back that maybe gets some capital. Where are you headed?
Yeah. I like how this second round has started. I'm a fan of Kendre Miller, and I do think that this is absolutely the range right here for the tight ends. I like Michael Mayer and Dalton Kincaid a ton. But I have somebody ranked a little bit higher in Superflex, and I'm happy that it happened this way because I think maybe it starts a fun little discussion. Jordan took my quarterback 5 at 5th overall. I'm getting my quarterback 4 at what, pick 15 here? So I'm going to go ahead and take Hendon Hooker. I definitely think
this... I'm going to ask you real fast, Ben. What's the projected draft capital that you're putting for Hooker? Second round? Or you think he goes round 1?
I think that there is a chance he goes round 1, but I think second round is way more realistic. But there's enough steam that I think it's possible. The Vikings just jump out to me as the Hendon Hooker team, and who knows, maybe they decide to go with Trey Lance or something else. But this is Kirk Cousins' last year on the Vikings. He's, what, 34, 35? So I think I'm getting a player who, yes, he has the torn ACL, and yes, he's played in a Tennessee offense that is tough to project for sure. But, and this definitely speaks, when I talked about Levis, this definitely speaks more to what I think about Levis than Hooker. But Levis is a rusher. He's going to give you that rushing upside, but he's not a dynamic runner. We have to see what happens after the ACL, but Hooker does have some dynamic playmaking ability with him. I mean, he threw an ungodly amount of touchdowns too, and I know it's a crazy offense while he was in Tennessee, but he rushed a ton. And you see it on tape. I mean, he sets up blockers. He can get in the open field. And so in this day and age where we're obsessed with the Anthony Richardsons, he's obviously not him and things like that. Hooker, to me, in Superflex is a discount version of that where when he is on the field, and I do think that he's going to be at least a second round pick. So he's going to get enough draft capital to where a team is drafting him, probably redshirting him year one, but expecting him to be their quarterback of the future, whether it's right or wrong. So he's going to get some playing time. So you have to be a little bit patient with it. But once he's on the field, he's going to give you that dual threat playmaking ability, which we covet so much in fantasy. So I'm happy to get him here at a little bit of a discount. He's my 11th overall in Superflex, and then Levis falls right after that at 12th overall.
Okay. I mean, look, I'm projecting second round capital for Hooker, so I think that you can make a case. Ray, before we get your pick here, if Hendon Hooker goes in the second round, not even projecting first round, what's the highest you'd be willing to take Hendon Hooker in a super flex draft, Ray?
I'm the wrong
one. I knew you'd be excited about Hendon Hooker.
I'm the wrong one to ask because I just don't see it with him. I mean, I do not see
you
it.
You don't want
at
a rookie
all.
That's going to finish his rookie contract maybe like close to 30 or over it?
Yeah. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what I think. If the NFL tells me he's a top 50 pick, I think like maybe 2-1, 112 at the absolute earliest, but I'm fine taking a shot on him in the second, you know. It just – Scott said something a little while ago. I truly think that draft capital, especially when it comes to running backs, we're not going to be able to look at that. I think it's going to be who got drafted by what, what's the opportunity projected. I mean, you're going to get 10 running backs drafted between round 3 and round 5 probably. They're all going to have similar range. All I'm looking at is there's some opportunity, and here's the biggest point. D-Bro, I'm not thinking about 2 years down the line. I'm not thinking three. What can you give me this year? Is there? I'm not waiting no year, 2-3 years down the line for a running back in Dynasty. I'm not doing it, man. So if I don't even know if you'll be able to. Oh, this one got drafted in round three versus round four. It's all the same. It's kind of spare. I get hit rate data and all of that, but the way the NFL is trending, when the Breece Halls of the world are in the second round and JT's, like, you're just going to get a big cluster of players in a big jumbled range. And the reality is I don't want any of these guys. I don't want if I can flip any of them for a random 24 first, I'd do it. Like, I would just do it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, where am I at? The 2-5 spot? 2-6?
Yeah, you're up at the 204 right now.
Dear God. I mean...
Downs, Kincaid.
I mean, it's
Tajay. Can I interest you in some Tajay?
If you're telling me that Tajay is going to be a third round pick, fine. I know he's a hated wide receiver. People don't like him. But if he's if he gets top 40 capital, which I think he will, then he's going to be historically in the range of receivers that matter. So give me Jalin Hyatt here. I don't know what else to do. Just give me Jalin Hyatt. I'm still not taking a tight end here. I'm not. Like, just not for me. I'm good.
I mean, considering the projected draft capital, I totally understand. Like, we've played this game for multiple years, you know, whether it's the Kadarius Toney talk, whether it's the last year Tyquan Thornton goes in the second round. I can't remember if he was top 50 or not, but similar ideas. Like, we're not, like, enamored with the profile and stuff, but if they get the capital, we got to follow the capital to an extent. Jay Rich, would you have gone Jalin Hyatt? I'm kind of gaslighting here, man. Or would you have gone another direction? I mean, you're up at the 205.
Ray hit on both my players. I was looking at Hyatt or Spears, so I will be taking Spears here. I understand you want to take a tight end, potentially, some people out there, but we're looking at 4-5 probably in the top 40, top 50 picks. I don't feel too tough to go Kincaid if you want. I think for me, it's going to come down to is, you know, the Capitals should be close between Mayer and Cade, so you could go that route. But if Darnell Washington's on the team, if Sam Laporta's on the team, I may choose to fade and go after a running back I really like in Spears. I think we'll get, you know, mid to maybe high-end third-round capital. Be in a situation where you can hopefully thrive. Like Ray said, all these guys need opportunity, and we won't know that until the team they're playing on with the capital. But for me, Spears is pretty much locked in. Probably mid to early third, like I said, and I really trust that he's going to be able to show up in your bowl, right? Dude was the best player there, and it wasn't even close. He's been rising ever since, passed every test. I think he's only going to continue to do that even when he gets into camps, and so Spears is an easy pick here for me.
Yeah, I love Tajay, and I agree. I think he probably goes round three. At least that's the hope right now. Theo, 206. You tight ends here on the board. Now we're kind of in a very risky situation of where's the capital and who are you going to, you know, toss your chips in on?
I thought Jay Rich had a really good point on the fact that we're going to have multiple tight ends drafted early and we don't need to take the risk. But I am going to dive in and take Dalton Kincaid. He's a little bit older, but he was a grinder, man. He had to transfer up to get to Utah. I think he has the cleanest receiving profile of any tight end in this class. I think he has a chance to put up a couple of top six tight end seasons. And in tight end premium, those kind of guys are worth a ton. So there's a number of running backs that I could justify taking right here. And it's difficult passing on some of those guys. But Kincaid right now, I think he still has a chance to be the first tight end pick in the NFL draft. The books are telling us that. Mayer's the favorite. But Kincaid is the only other one that the books are telling us could be the first tight end off the board. So I think that he has a very nice fantasy profile. I think he can be used as a move tight end. I think there's some knocks on him as like a tweener type, but I think he could be very, very effective as a fantasy asset. So I'm happy to get him here in the mid-second.
Yeah, I like Kincaid so much, man. I think his ceiling is just sky high. My only, and I love the point that Jay Rich brought up here, is that when I'm staring at this tight end group, I've got four guys in my tier one. Like, you can, I think you can easily make conversations for Sam Laporta, and you can make a conversation for Tucker Kraft to not be that far away, considering if draft capital is not that far apart. So that's the problem I have going with the tight ends, like, early in some of these rookie drafts, is that I mean, I'm pretty good with just, you know, waiting another round, taking Sam Laporta, waiting two rounds, taking Tucker Kraft, you know. So I definitely get that side of the argument versus the ceiling case for Dalton Kincaid, because I think the ceiling is definitely there. Erickson 207, you going to keep the tight end run going?
No, I am not. And I'm going to take Scott's guy, Marvin Mims, because I know he won't be there when I pick next. So,
I'm waiting for Scott.
Because I'm also equally a big – I don't have Marvin Mims as my wide receiver too, full disclosure. But I do really like him a lot, especially in this range here. Just early breakout age, make a producer at the college level, vertical threat, and someone that also flashed on special teams. Just like checks up a lot of the boxes that you're looking for. Now, draft capital K, is it going to be as good as Josh Downs? Probably not. But what we see at the receiver position is sometimes talent matters a little bit more than necessarily draft capital. Again, as long as you can get on the field and do something, then you'll get more playing time. And Marvin Mims at least has shown that, okay, even if he's not getting a ton of volume, he can deliver splash plays when he does get his opportunities in an NFL offense. So maybe if he gets less draft capital, it'll put him on a better offense where he can see better quarterback play. So his range of outcomes is somewhat wide, but I like the profile too much here in the middle of the second.
All right, Barrett, let me hear your tilt here before we get the 208 out of you.
If this were a real draft, I would be insufferable. whatever the clock is, I would just eat up the entire clock. Ugh, this is... Yeah, let me just say a few words about Marvin Mims. I know this is an insane ranking. I don't like tethering my reputation to guys like this, especially not guys with round three draft capital. That's worked out well for me often enough, you know, being way too high on Christian McCaffrey, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields last year. Didn't work out so well with Elijah Moore last year. So that makes me nervous. That makes me legitimately scared. But I thought deeply about this. I went through his analytics profile, spent a lot of time on it, and I just couldn't in good faith rank him as anything less than wide receiver two, if ignoring projected draft capital. I think how this is going to work for me is I'm going to get clowned on incessantly for 2 years. I think he's going to struggle to start his career. That's what everyone's saying. They're saying, he ran a limited route tree at Oklahoma. He's really raw. Well, guess what? He was a fucking monster on four routes. Like, imagine what he could do with NFL coaching. He had a different quarterback every year, a different wide receiver coach every year. So I think he's going to be, you know, follow the Tyler Lockett trajectory, who was another guy I really liked. Ideally, he goes to the Chargers, and he's just a situational deep threat early on, and then he grows into something more. With this pick, I begrudgingly take Josh Downs.
Yeah, I know that the Downs versus now having to sit here and swallow Downs after getting Mims, just the rug being pulled out from under you is not fun, Scott. I don't hate any part of like the love for Marvin Mims. I mean, he checks so many different boxes, whether you want to talk about breakout age, when you talk about skill set, the ability to stretch the field, yards per route run, he pops in multiple seasons. I don't hate that pick at all, as well as the Downs pick. I mean, Downs is probably going to get second, third round capital. He's going to go somewhere where, you know, depending on the landing spot. Like, if Downs goes second, third round to the Chiefs, do we do this all over again and people bump him up boards? We shall see. But, Ben, you are up at the 209.
You'll have to tell me if I'm pronouncing the name right. I'm going to go ahead and select Devon Achain.
Oh, Achain?
Achain.
Yep.
I think this is, I'm happy to get him in this range. His size is a concern, 188 pounds at the combine. So he's probably never going to be a workhorse, but I do think he has the athleticism to be able to still be a fantasy contributor and an asset, even with limited playing time. 4.32 40 yard dash. So, you know, I like drafting athletes. I think that's probably a good idea. So, you know, he's got that. He was a track star. I think PFF said, let's see, where is it? 10th fastest 100 meter time in Texas A&M's history. And I like the tape. I mean, he plays tougher than what you would think for a guy that's a little bit smaller, plus obviously has the athleticism. I think that the highlight reel that he's probably going to break off even as a rookie, because I think he should be in a committee immediately as a rookie, is probably going to give you a sell window as well, because he's just going to be a fun player that people want. So if you want to hop off the train at some point in his rookie year, after his rookie year, I think you'll probably have some opportunities to do that as well. So I'm going to go ahead and take Devon.
Yep, I like the A-chain pick. I mean, again, we're shooting shots on draft capital here. Ray, you are up at the 210. Are you going to start? Because I know you are the dynasty assassin. You're starting to play the mind games of people around this point. Are you going to toss a grenade in here?
No, I'm not going to toss a grenade. I'm going to.
Okay, I was just waiting for the Zach Evans pick or something, man.
I can assure you, if anybody's picking Zach Evans, it won't be me. But I'm with Ben. I like athleticism at my running back position. I also like running backs that have an opportunity to be a 60%er. If y'all don't know what that is, go check out Scott Connor's Destination Dynasty episode from 2 weeks ago when talking about running backs and looking at historically 60%ers versus 40%ers. And one of the few running backs in this class that actually has an opportunity to become that, if he gets some opportunity, is Pittsburgh running back Israel Abanikanda at 5'10", 216 pounds, checks the BMI check mark, the explosiveness, not much of a pass catcher. He'll be the youngest, I believe, the youngest running back in the NFL to start the season.
And when he's 17 when he started at Pittsburgh? Am I right on that? Like, he was crazy young.
Yeah.
Is he still 20 right now?
He's 20.
Yeah.
20.
Lord.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, y'all. The reality is that the receiving profile isn't really there for him, and I don't want to get into what I think he can do. I'll just speak on what he is, and what he is explosive. And if I can only have one trait from a running back, it's be explosive. And if you've got that type of explosion, with his combined size, I think he'll have a shot. The reality is he's probably at best, if I had to guess today, at best, probably round four, round five type capital. But I'll take the young, explosive guy that profiles like a 60%er in the NFL.
Yeah, I love the pick. I've been staring at Izzy on the board for the last few picks for everybody. Like, I'm just like, the dude tested out the freaking gym. He almost broke Raz. Like, it's all there. It's all there. Now we just need capital to follow. Jay Rich, 211. Where are you going?
I'm going to be taking Darnell Washington here, the tight end out of Georgia. He was unfortunately stuck behind the all-world tight end in Brock Bowers. He blocks very well. Draft capital should be there. I definitely understand Ray wanted to take Izzy there. But when you're doing a pre-draft mock, it is tougher to take a guy that you project to be in the fourth, fifth round. Hopefully he can get some decent capital, get a good landing spot. But I'm very confident and what we'll get out of Darnell Washington, so I will be taking him here. I think this is around the spot where I would start to look at tight end, especially in a premium. I think in most leagues, they'd probably go higher. It's not a massive premium, but if Washington can be a guy who can command targets, obviously can be a red zone threat because he's massive and a highlight reel waiting to happen. So I'm happy to take him here. Should be a top 40 pick in the NFL draft.
All right, let's go. Theo, close out the second round, man.
Yeah, so that Izzy Abanikanda pick was tough because I almost took him over Kincaid, and I was hoping he would fall to me. That was a very nice pick. But I'm going to go Jonathan Mingo here. I think he's rising up draft boards. I think he's going to get the NFL draft capital that we want.
Jay Rich is screaming right now while he's on silent. Just put that out there.
I mean, the production was not really there at Ole Miss. You started seeing it the last season. I think his target share was close to 25% this year. But he kind of checks off a lot of boxes in terms of size and profile. And I think if he lands well, he could be like a very serviceable wide receiver too for a lot of teams. And I'm starting to get pretty bullish on him. And I think NFL teams are as well.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a second round pick. I've seen some mocks with the first round. I'm not swallowing that. But I do think that he could get into the second round of the NFL draft. Recapping this second round, Erickson went Kendre Miller at 201. Barrett went Michael Mayer at 202. Ben took Hendon Hooker at 203. Ray grabbed Jalin Hyatt at 204. Jay Rich got Tajay Spears at the 205. Theo went Dalton Kincaid at 206. Erickson got, he made Scott Barrett's day really bad.
taking Marvin Mims at 207. Barrett went Josh Downs, 208. Ben took Devon Achain at 209. Ray went Izzy Abandikanda at 210. Jay Rich took Darnell Washington, the mutant himself, at 211. And Theo went with Jonathan Mingo at the 212. We're not going to do a third round here, guys, but I do want to kind of roll through this and get your takes real fast. Starting with you, Erickson. If you're sitting there in the third, fourth round of drafts, who is the guy, and I'm going to throw this to everybody, give me one guy that you do not want to leave the third round without.
One guy I don't want to leave the third round, a rookie. I think for me, okay, like a tight end premium definitely would be someone like a Sam Laporta. Like him a lot, just like as like getting a value tight end. I really, any of these value tight ends, athletic group of guys, Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, Kuntz, even Mallory, like I just like a lot of those types of players. I think they're just good values, especially in the third round. But a receiver, I would say, is Jaden Reed. I just love Jaden Reed's profile, as even if he's a round four pick, round five pick, just he checks off tons of boxes from the early breakout age to the special teams ability, one of the best punt returners in college football. Like, I just like a lot of his production profile. So those two guys.
Yeah, I love Laporta, man. Barrett, third round, where would you be going? Who's the guy that's really got your eye here?
Yeah, it's tough because, again, I just really don't like this class. I think for who's available right now, Laporta, I know you love him. He's a great pick here. Kayshon Boutte, probably one of those two. As far as guys, I'm winding up with a lot of, most of my drafts are pre-draft, have a lot of Tyler Scott, a lot of Kenny McIntosh. Some Will Mallory is like the final pick of round four. Yeah,
I don't hate any of those picks. I think the Mallory one's interesting because he tested really well. Ben, third round guy, who is it?
My guy in this class is A.T. Perry, so I'm gonna go ahead and talk about
Brett Whitefield is he's got body parts that are tingling right now hearing that name.
Broadway. Yeah. I'm happy we're doing this before the draft because obviously with draft capital, Head and Hooker included, like I will adjust ranks accordingly. But I'm praying and hoping that A.T. Perry does go day two. I think there's a chance we see crazy day two picks every year, as we know, at wide receiver. So I'm hoping it could happen. Now, he is going to turn 24 in October, which isn't great, and broke out late, which also isn't great. But I just love his tape. He's 6'3.5". So he's even taller than Quentin Johnson. I just kind of look at him as a discount Quentin Johnson. I think he can be an X receiver. His tape is so smooth. He's athletic for his size, which is what's really exciting. He ran a 4.47 40. I think that athleticism and flexibility and ability to separate all shows up on tape. He's got the size. Yeah, I like him, I guess, a lot more than the NFL, but I'm hoping a team steps up and gives, put some draft capital behind it. So we shall see.
I like A.T. Perry a lot. I think the bigger receivers in this class are very interesting, especially when I looked at these guys like skill set. You look at yards per route run with man and zone and stuff like that. A.T. Perry was solid against both coverage types. So I think he could definitely play X, man. I like that call.
Yeah. Ray? Even though he didn't break out, so that, like he dominated the last 2 years. So hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, he got the volume, man. He pops in other metrics. Ray, where are you going if you had a third round pick?
Trading it. I don't want any of these guys.
You're not taking that out on me, man. Give me a name. Come on, somebody.
Tank Bigsby.
Okay.
Tank's my guy. Again, he's a mid-round running back. I'm just looking for spot starts. Me, I'm a best ball, dynasty best ball guy. Opportunity, dart throws, running back. There's a bunch of them that play every year. Him, or if it's a tight end premium league, round three is about where I'm starting to look at taking some tight ends. So Tucker Kraft still on the board. I'd be very happy with my league mates that, you know, took tight ends early in a format like this. If I can get Tucker Kraft here in the third, I'd be pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, I like Tucker Kraft a lot. I think his game is going to translate to the NFL a lot. Like the tank call, where are you projecting him, Ray? Do you think he can get into the third round, or do you think he's just a day three guy?
Probably day three.
Yeah, probably that's kind of where I'm at too.
Probably day three, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm looking at his profile at least. Jay Rich, round three guy, who is it?
Well, somehow Ray sniped me on my round three guy. Go figure.
Well, you can talk about the same round three guy. They're not going into the sheet. Okay. It's all good.
I mean, Ray kind of hit it on the head, right? Like, we have a bunch of running backs we like. I think the guy for me would probably be Chase Brown. I would be leaning on just dominating in the Big Ten. And probably fourth round, maybe fifth round, right around the same as we expect for Tank. Like, not great capital, but if he lands into a good spot, maybe he can find a role. No one's mentioned Luke Musgrave either, a guy who at one point was a back-end first-round pick. Now, obviously, not quite there anymore, but I still think super athletic, huge, played very well at the Senior Bowl as well. So I do like him quite a bit, want to see where he ends up. I think he's right in that, you know, Laporta, Tucker Kraft range of tight end, maybe go in between those guys. I think he should be a guy you'd look for in the third round as well.
Don't you say that to D, bro. He doesn't like that Musgrave, man. Don't you dare.
I am not a Musgrave guy.
He must have not stood next to him at the Senior Bowl to see how damn big he was.
No. I mean, some people had skills and abilities to get down on the field in Mobile. I did not have that. What can I say, Jay Rich? You're better than me, man.
Hey, man, that's where I found Mingo. And look at him now.
Well, I know. You got the golden touch, man. There's no doubt about that. Theo, third round, dude. Close us out here.
So third round should be a cleanup round for the tight ends that get the draft capital. I really like Musgrave as well. I think he's more of a guy I'd be comfortable taking in the third round because, you know, we didn't see the production, but he does have that elite size and athleticism. I mean, Laporta could be a beast. I worry about him kind of being cast into like, more two tight end sets. And then I'll say if Darnell Washington falls, he's absolutely a guy that you want to take in the third round. And then in the fourth, in the late third and the fourth, I'm looking at your guy, Evan Hull. I'm looking at Dwayne
Thank
McBride.
You. About time. Somebody bring up the man, the myth, the legend.
I'm not like a stand for him, but I think that he has size and receiving ability.
It's a safe space, Theo. You could talk about it if you are. It's a safe space.
I'm excited about McBride. I think McBride is like super interesting because he has shown no receiving ability, but he's 215 pounds and he was 7 yards per carry. He's interesting if he lands well. And then I like Trey Palmer. I like taking shots on Trey Palmer. I think he's got speed. He's got some dog to him. And I think he could be a guy that could stick and give you some production, you know, when you get him in like the end of the third round.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect round to take some shots on running backs. Ben, you're going to say something?
I like me some Trey Palmer as well, so I love that. And I just wanted to say thank you, Theo, for saying Evan Hull, because if none of us said it, I think we were going to have to check on D-Bro.
D-Bro just DM'd me and said you have to say Evan Hull. That's why we invited you on.
Actually, I put it all in caps. Thank you very much. So I screamed it at you. Let's just be perfectly accurate here, Theo, if we're going to toss people under the bus here. But no, man, Evan Hull is my dude. Before we all get up out of here, go around the horn real fast. I know we have a ton of content coming out at Fantasy Pros. Talked about the NFL draft stream live on YouTube next week, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be doing the entire first round. Erickson, what are you working on right now for all things fantasy and NFL?
Right now, I'm trying to figure out who the Patriots are going to take when they draft at 14. They're probably going to trade down.
Tackle, you're fine.
Yeah, offensive tackle or a safety that's projected to go in round three. They'll take in round one. But yeah, just more mock drafts, big board, and just responding to different types of content, any type of news, rumors, all over on Fantasy Pros. Like D-Bro mentioned, we're doing the live stream on Thursday night. We're going to do a Discord stages on Friday, basically from like 5 till like midnight. So like 6-7 hours of all access to the NFL draft. So it should be a ton of fun. But yeah, everything's over at fantasypros.com.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you hopping in here today, Erickson. Ray, J. Rich, tell me the good news. All things Destination Debbie, baby. What's up?
It's all the draft, man. This week, all draft content. We're going to stream Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings. So a little pre-draft stuff. And then we're also going to do the live stream Thursday and Friday starting at 7:30. So we're going to be competitors, D-Bro. We're going to have a little contest, maybe some wagers on who has the better stream.
Oh, I'm here for that.
Yeah, man.
I'm here for it.
I'll be hopping in other streams, talking smack and stuff at your picks and your analysis. It'll be fun. But yeah,
Send me the invite. I'll crash the stream. I'm down for it.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to get you in. But yeah, Thursday, Friday, we'll be live all day. Reaction analysis. If you haven't been on Ray's Twitter yet,
go check the video from last year because it was absolutely insane. Legit. It'll be a ton of fun.
So legit, man. So much respect for everything y'all were doing to Destination Debbie. Amazing team. Awesome content, man.
Yeah. The whole crew will be out. Whole crew will be out.
Love it. Love it. I saw Fizzle in here a little bit earlier. Oh, there he is. I see you, Fizzle. Barrett, all things fantasy points, baby. I know you and Brett are rocking a stream as well. Is that round one? What else y'all got going on?
Yeah, we're going to do day one. We're going to do day two. Brett is basically our resident film scout. I'm the head of analytics, so check out his free NFL draft guide. Check out my prospect articles, and you can watch the NFL draft day one and day two live with the both of us. Are you going to hop on? Are you going to be one of our guests?
You can't keep me away here, Scott.
Beautiful.
We will talk, sir. There's no way I'm going to miss out talking ball with you and Brett. That's going to happen.
Oh, hell yeah. We got to get Ray on, too. We're going to try and get an all-star cast of names.
Love it.
Especially ones as fun and entertaining as yourselves.
Too kind, Scott. Too kind. But you know what? I'll take it, man. I will absolutely take it. Theo, come on, man. Tell me the good news. What's going on in Player Profiler for the NFL Draft?
So we are going to be rolling deep to Kansas City, and we're going to be streaming the entire NFL Draft. You can check it out.
Damn, I feel like a one-up, man. You drive all the way to KC?
We might have a couch or a bed for you, D-Bro, if you want to buy a last-minute ticket. And
Have blanket. We'll sleep on floor. Yes.
There you go. There you go. And then, look for us on the Player Profiler YouTube channel, all NFL Draft. We'll be doing a number of podcasts from there. And then check out my written work coming out. I'll have a couple of pre-NFL draft articles dropping early next week on Player Profiler as well. I do an annual one about the pre-NFL draft dynasty landmines, some players that could be on shaky ground after the NFL draft in terms of their dynasty value.
Love it, dude. You, Billy, Kelly, everybody over at Player Profiler got my respect, man. Mad awesome content. Love you guys to death. Ben, take it home, baby. What's going on in football, guys?
Yeah, you can find my work there. Just had my favorite landing spots for Zach Charbonnet drop this morning. I got JSN dropping tomorrow and CJ Stroud the next day. We'll see if I want to add any more. We're going to be in the best ball streets all summer, obviously. And yeah, thanks for having me, D-Bro. This was a blast. Great crew.
Oh, dude. Much respect, man. You're one of the OGs in the space. Love your work. I love it. Love it. Anytime we get to talk ball, it is a good day. But yes, everybody tune into all of this awesome content. We're going to be rocking it at Fantasy Pros. Every one of these outlets, you need to be tuning into their content. Second screen experiences for days, people. Talking fantasy, talking NFL. The things you actually want to hear, not about like somebody's childhood stories that we've heard 15 different times across all types of platforms. Everybody here is real, awesome at their jobs. I'm going to bring it to you real. So, that's everything, man. I appreciate everybody for hopping in here, staying here for over an hour, rolling through this mock. We're going to be doing some more spaces in the weeks to come. I think next Wednesday, I've got to sit here and tighten up the guest list. We're going to have an NFL draft mock the day before the draft. So be looking for that. Follow Fantasy Pros here on Twitter. Turn on those notifications so you don't miss any of these spaces, man. It's always lit. But for everybody here, everybody have a good weekend. We're out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros. Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah!
and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.